Our passage this morning is from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, the priests, the prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was after King Jehoiakim, the queen mother, the court officials, the other officials of Judah, and all the craftsmen and artisans had been deported from Jerusalem. He sent the letter with Elsa, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, when they went to Babylon as King Zedekiah's ambassadors to Nebuchadnezzar. This is what Jeremiah's letter said. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled in Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for its welfare will determine your welfare. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for the gift to be able to gather as a family, as a community, as those seeking your face. The Spirit of the living God encourages us today to seek not just your face, but the face of our neighbors in our community, to seek the welfare of our city. I hear your heart around that, God, and I pray that I can express in words to this family, this congregation here at Citywell, of what your heart so desires of us to go out into this great city of Durham, North Carolina, and be the body of Christ, to show the love of Christ to neighbors and even those who consider themselves our enemies. Merciful and gracious God, may we hear what your Spirit is saying to us, the church, in this place called Citywell, in Jesus' name, amen. So my name is Madison Keith Daniel, by the way, for those of y'all who were not aware that my first name is Madison. There is another one of us who I think about dearly all the time, Madison II. He is in Greenville, South Carolina, and hopefully also in church this morning. My daughter, Lauren, I think about her all the time as well, is at UNC Charlotte, and just so grateful. And of course, my wife, Alona, is away. I trust they're safely traveling back. We talked a little bit last night. She was telling me about how much of a wonderful time the women of Citywell are enjoying this weekend. So you have me, Madison Keith Daniel, to share the word with you this morning. I'm ever so grateful and encouraged because this is an opportunity for me to do less sermonizing and more just opening up my heart and the journey that I've experienced in the city of Durham since I was about 4 years old, up until the day where God has ordained me to participate in the life of our city in a way that I think is important for us as a congregation to continue to stay in the mindset of stewardship. As we know, the last 4 weeks, Pastor Crystal has focused the theme of our church around our stewardship, in particular as it relates to how we serve the church on the inside here at Citywell in love and encourage one another in the faith. And so I thought today, in the continuance of that, is to think about how we serve our neighbors and we participate in the life of this great city that we are in here, known as Durham, North Carolina. Some of you are aware this is a season of kind of a celebration in Durham as 150 years has now passed since Durham was incorporated. My mother and father are both Durham natives. They graduates of Hillside High School, and they moved out of the South for a better life up in the great nation's capital, where I was born in 1968, to be full disclosure. So I've been on the earth for a little while and have actually experienced the diversity of two cities the District of Columbia and Durham County, two DCs, Durham City, Durham County. But as a child, my parents would send me to Durham from the time I was about 4 years old for my summers to stay with aunts and uncles and grandparents throughout the city. And of course, as a child, you don't realize how much of a wonderland you're in, or sometimes it's not a wonderland. It can be a battleground in some spaces. And as I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate both of those realities in Durham. There are spaces that are tremendous battlegrounds and of great despair. And then there's a tremendous prosperity. And fortunately for me, when I graduated high school in DC, I had an opportunity to come back to Durham and make it my home, essentially Duke University my home. And I stayed behind that ivory tower wall, essentially, either through education or as an employee until 2014, when God called me to resign my position at Duke Chapel to pursue what I came to understand was Christian community development work. I did not have a job when I left the chapel, but it was clear in my spirit that God was making a call to me to engage in the life of my neighbors in a way that hopefully brought some semblance of common good and flourishing. And by the grace of God, I was hired a few months after leaving the university. Actually, it was a full year after leaving the university, because I was hired back on a part-time or interim basis to serve as the interim director of the Black Church Studies Office, as well as the program manager for the commemoration of Duke's integration 50-year celebration of the first 5 African-American students to enroll in Duke in 1963. So I did that for a year, and then God finally released me to work full-time in another context, and that was at Durham Cares. Durham Cares has given me an opportunity to participate in so many different initiatives and be concerned about so many issue areas that I was very grateful that God answered my prayer and given me that role. While at Durham Cares, I participated in a close and deliberate study of a community in Durham, which I will not name, because there are some things I'm going to describe about the community and the way it's typically been characterized that I care not to specifically identify it. Full disclosure, I enrolled in a doctoral program with an aspiration to deepen my own sense of awareness of what does it mean for Christians to engage in community development work, what makes it distinct and unique from just any old new program or effort to try to make a community better. And in that process, God opened my eyes in a profound way, my spiritual eyes, to what the church is here to do in the world. That is distinct and unique, and is a joy to wake up every day with that imagination of what we have been bestowed and honored with, and the power of God that's resident in us as believers, and how communities can be transformed because the church is there. Because the church is there. And I needed to be reminded that despite the fact that many community members see churches as irrelevant today, I needed to be reminded by the Spirit of God and to be encouraged that my participation in the life of the church on Sunday morning was not irrelevant or inconsequential, because it would impact my life every day of the week if I lived it out faithfully. My heart so desires to hear the community say amen, that there's a church in their neighborhood. My heart breaks for every person that walks by this church and thinks it has no interest in their life, and they will never come inside this place, because they've experienced the pain and the despair and the brokenness of when churches go wrong. And when we teach a different gospel, when we prophesy lies and untruths, and we don't live it out faithfully. And the Spirit of the living God is here for me today to encourage my heart and hopefully encourage a few of y'all when we walk out of here and say, no, this is not irrelevant what we're doing. This is not religious ritual what we're doing. Why do we come to church? Because I desperately want my neighbor to know that I care about you. I care about your life and who you are as a person, to the point where I would cry when you lose a child in our community, when another one is shot in our community, when someone else is standing in a line because they don't have food in our community, when there's sex trafficking, there's despair and there's pain, I want to feel that. The Spirit of the living God wants me to feel it so much that I'm willing to quit what I'm doing and to go after it. And that's the invitation for us in the church today at CityWell. I got to take a breath because I have a script today. I really do. I have a script. I want to walk you all through kind of the orderly fashion that God gave me to see the city in a certain way. But I just want to sit and relish the gift and the commitment that we've made to one another at this church to live out this journey of CityWell. I'm ordained in the American Baptist Church. I grew up in the Black Baptist Church tradition, 150-year-old church in Washington, D.C. They helped me to see that I was somebody and that was important, that my life was significant. Not only that, that everybody else that I encountered had a significant life, even those who opposed me, even if I was called out of my name. And I'm so grateful to have that foundation. And now I arrive here. My family and I, we've been here at CityWell for about 6 years. And part of the invitation and the appeal was because it was based on this principle, the book of Jeremiah, that we would seek the welfare of the city. There were two passages that the former pastor Cleve, as he began to open up to me how the Lord prompted him to launch CityWell. One was the story of the woman at the well, which again, we've been reflecting on the last few weeks. And today I present before you the Jeremiah prophecy, where God says, seek the welfare of the city. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. And what did we get to do? Think about it. See the city as a playground. I can plant a garden somewhere. You know, I can watch somebody else's children. I can care for someone else's children if I don't have them. You know, we can engage in celebrations. We can get out and let people know, yeah, we enjoy being your neighbor. Just imagine that. Take yourself in the mindset of a child. And that's what the Spirit of the Living God wants to invite us as CityWell to think about. Think about this neighborhood right around here. If we walked 1 mile, say we started down at the church just by Hardee's. My grandmother used to love going to Hardee's right there on that spot, boy. As a kid, I remember that. There's a church just on the opposite corner. I think there's a school right behind it. I'm blanking on the name. And say we started there and just walked all the way till we passed Coco Cinnamon and work our way down like to the food co-op. You'll pass about 5 or 6 churches, right? Right? There's a worshiping community just along that corridor. And we must wonder to ourselves, what else are we passing? You know, we're passing our Hispanic businesses and the YMCA, right? Anywhere, any stop along the way, we could stop off and probably spend some time and enjoy what is in this neighborhood and community. God is inviting us as a congregation to think particularly about the landscape and the geography right around us. We've had conversations over the years of what it looks like to create this play space back here, or think of other ways that might make our church even more relevant to the community. We've opened the church up to events like racial equity gatherings or gatherings of other conversations. And I know God wants us to continue to be about that expression of looking outward into the city, right? And thinking about the collective whole and flourishing of the city. What's often easy to do with a passage like Jeremiah, because we live in America, and it's all about the I in America, is to think about when the passage gets to the part where it says, and I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord of hosts, plans for your good, not for your evil, that you might have a future and a hope. And we individualize it and personalize it, but God is saying, no, break open. The prophecy was, first of all, to acknowledge that there's great pain in the reality that not everybody necessarily feels like they are free here in Durham, North Carolina. Yeah. They feel like they're living in exile. They're captives. And see, we know something about that spirit of captivity when we had Samuel Bruno here in our midst, right? We know something about what it means to be considered alien. not belonging, not a part of. And God wants us to our heart to gravitate to those people who feel like they have no place that they belong. And we're supposed to go out and create that space of belonging and create that space of engagement and love so nobody in our city, not one single person, can ever say, there is nobody that cares about me. That is part of the goal and the invitation I believe the Spirit of God is inviting us in. We are invited by the Spirit of God to participate in a humble posture of listening to the community and responding faithfully to calls of action. Local churches can lead the way in holistic solutions and action that address their community's most pressing problems and most desirable aspirations. I saw this take place in a particular community over the period of 20 years, this community that will go unnamed at this point. But to disclose to you how deeply rooted this is in me, and I wanted to kind of infect my family here at CityWell, our journey began in this particular neighborhood in Durham when my wife and I got married in 1993. The church where we got married has now been demolished. None of you would know that it was there at one point unless, of course, you were here 20 years ago and you happened to go through this particular street. It is now a grassy hill there. And when I passed it, it invoked in me the question, does anybody care that this church is no longer here? Does anybody even know that the church was ever here? And the Spirit of God got on me. He was like, we were a part of this church for a number of years, and part of the reason why we left because he awoken us to the reality that a church is truly irrelevant if it never gets out in its community and gets its hands dirty in the soil of the community, asking the questions of why is there despair here? Why do people think that this community has no access and value? Well, they might think that because no one has actually come alongside and listened to their story and helped affirm their story and helped to retell it in ways that makes it possible that people won't be thinking about the next moment they can get out of the community. They'll be thinking about ways we can stay in this space and plant a garden and create a playground and gather more people and serve more food and address the issues of systemic structures that marginalize. And man, that's like the invitation of what the people of God are created and set up for, is to get in there and do this work of activism and justice and speaking out and being courageous. And we know we need to do that in a collective way, in a way that is uplifting and not disparaging of anybody that's doing anything that's an attempt to do good, which is the other thing the Spirit of the Living God wanted me to stay in the space of and invites us at CityWell. Resist the temptation to always look at what somebody else is not doing. Resist the temptation of, even if the evidence is to the contrary, where, say, like on a street, all the churches care nothing about but attendance, building, and cash. Even if that happens to be true, don't say it out loud. Do it like we do with family, you know. You know, with family, we just don't go out in public and say, you know, Granville's a terrible guy. You know, we keep that inside. And then we work on Granville, you know, inside. But in the community, it's like, man, I'm glad the church is here because that means that somebody's worshiping. That means somebody's praying. And hopefully it's turning into action and activity that's actually bringing about change and flourishing in the community. That's the invitation. I know the journey of the Christian life is not an easy one. It's easy to fall out of this race of the Christian journey when you continue to look at the despair and the darkness and things going on in the world. But we gather on Sunday morning to remind us that, hey, you know, yeah, this is okay. Like, I just had that mental picture of my son in cross country again. This is cross country, this long distance, baby. The long arc of the universe, it says it's supposed to build, the moral arc is supposed to bend towards justice. How's it gonna bend? It's gonna bend because somebody got on that thing and kept pulling and kept bending and persisted to say, it is going to work out for our good. It is like God said, the promises of God are true. Jeremiah said it'll be about 70 years you'll be in exile. So what you going to do with those 70 years? Oh, God, I'm just going to despair and sit down and say, look at that. They ain't doing nothing over there. They're not doing anything. So I won't even get involved. Why should I participate in the political shenanigans of our system? You know, what difference does it make? And the Spirit of God said, well, you just need to watch and see the glory of God be revealed if you continue on in faith. Prove me now, says the Lord of hosts. Oh, man, so y'all are going to mess around, and I'm really going to start preaching, and we're going to be in here a long time if y'all don't start saying some amen to this. Because, like I said, I've been on the earth a little while now, you know, 50 years and some change by God's grace, and there's an energy in me that when I get up in the morning, I think, you know what? Somebody out there right now is rescuing somebody out of despair. There's a first responder right now responding to somebody who's thinking about taking their life, and they're not going to take their life because somebody says something. I won't just count the bodies, because that's easy to do, that fall by the wayside. But I also count the Samaritans. They're out there. The Samaritans are out there, and I need to see them. And God said, you open your eyes, and I'll show you several. And so that's what I did for a number of years in that particular community that was described as the poorest community in Durham. 1 in 4 people in poverty, houses boarded up, prostitution and drug addiction. I walked those streets and I saw them. I walked them at night. I went on police ride-alongs. I did everything to try to see directly and firsthand what oftentimes we often don't see because we segregated in separate communities, whether it's by class, race, or some other homogenous reality. When we don't see the beauty and all the diversity and the pain and the promise that is out there for us to go after. And so the Spirit of the living God says, city well, be city well. Be the prophets, the prophetess, the priests, the priestess. Be the people of God. See what's going on in your city. And when you see it, move toward it. Stand in the gap. Participate in the uplift and the building of community. And let us hear the community say amen. It's good when the church say amen. That's fine. I grew up saying that. Let the church say amen. I can't even sing, but I sound like I could a little bit. Maybe that's just me. But when that, it's easy to come in church on Monday, and we talk about this all the time. Kumbaya, feel good. I don't leave depressed. I leave inspired. But then the minute Monday morning open up, you read a story, you hear about another killing, or you go into community spaces where they don't necessarily have a gospel like well springing up, and the community is just despairing and pointing fingers. And then we're back at a space where we're not moving forward as a community. City well, we're going to be city well. I am particularly motivated by that. The story of John Perkins was a story that also helped embolden me to leave Duke Chapel. Some of y'all have heard of Dr. Perkins before. If not, I'll share a few things about this man. So Dr. John M. Perkins, founder of Mendenhall Ministries, Voice of Calvary Ministries, and the Harambe Christian Family Center and Preparatory School, and co-founder of the Christian Community Development Association, is the epitome of living a people-centered life and what one discovers by closely following Jesus into the community life. Not only was his brother Clyde, a decorated Army veteran, killed in 1946 at the age of 28 by a white police officer. Perkins, for his involvement in voting rights protests, was tortured and beaten nearly to death in 1970 by white police officers. His salvation story of reconciliation and redemption is told in an autobiography called Let Justice Roll Down. Dr. Perkins began visiting Durham on almost an annual basis beginning in the year 2000. And a couple of years later, the creation of the Center for Reconciliation at Duke Divinity School that was co-directed by Dr. Perkins' dear friend and also friend of mine, Chris Rice. Dr. Perkins became a living epistle and evangelist for a movement focused on reconciliation, relocation, and redistribution as redemptive acts of Christ on the hearts of his disciples. The community that Dr. Perkins was born into in New Hebron, Mississippi in 1930 was steeped in poverty and racism. After the killing of his brother, he went to California, vowing never to return to Mississippi. But by God's providence would prove otherwise, and Perkins returned to Mississippi in the 1960s with the gospel message in his heart to teach people discipline and dependence on the power of Scripture. It's stories like Dr. Perkins and others. Now, I've discovered these people in Durham that are living lives in such a powerful inspiration as well. And I want to invite us to CityWell to begin to seek these folks out in our midst. Over the period of years that I've had a chance to seek out these folks, I found people working in a lot of different contexts, particularly executive directors of nonprofit organizations, many of whom so happen to be women. And I wake up every day marveling at what I call these women at the wells in Durham. They're responsible for major organizations and major movements, major commitments to the lives of people. God has prompted me to name some of them. Again, not on my script, and I'm trying to be mindful of time because I know y'all used to. As I said, I'm a Baptist minister, so y'all just need to chill for a minute. But I met a woman named Ariella Sands Bell many years ago. She was executive director of the Durham Crisis Response Center, and I just realized. I know this is the spirit of God, because when I put this together, this list, it's called Seek the Welfare of the City, and we're going to hand these out during response time. I was just going through my spirit and name, thinking of all the organizations that God had given me a living witness to their engagement in our community. And I realized the Durham Crisis Response Center is not on this list. But part of our response time, we're going to invite you to think about some of these inspiring people, organizations, or issue areas that are being addressed in our city. But Ariella Sands Bell was executive director. I remember walking into the Durham Crisis Response Center, and my son and I, we did a volunteer day or two in the center, getting it kind of cleaned and organized. And again, this was like 10 years ago, I guess. And that was just one encounter. It's just a beautiful woman, wonderful spirit. And I lift her up before you, Ariella Sands Bell. Don't let me start thinking about Mama Ann Atwater. Now, let me start talking about it. We just recently celebrated the Hollywood film depicting her life and the commitment she made and how she expressed her love for a former Grandmaster Ku Klux Klansman who was delivered as a result of her force and her love force for him and in the community at large. You know, there's a young woman who runs an organization called Justice Matters by the name of Libby Coles. I remember meeting her early on when she was working as a lawyer prior to her call to start Justice Matters, an organization focused on dealing with sex trafficking in our community. Oh, my. I remember the struggle that Sarita Hills, who is the executive director of Step Up Durham, had as not being a resident of Durham and being hired to take over this organization that's focusing on job placement and job placement for folks who have barriers to employment. And on and on and on in Durham, we have caring and committed people who need the body of Christ to come alongside them and support their work. Not all of them are faith-based organizations or come from that expression, but that's immaterial to me. God says plant gardens. Participate in the life of the community. Build houses. Okay, Habitat for Humanity has done tremendous work in the community. None of them are necessarily perfect organizations. They have to think about the justice concerns and how they go about the structural aspects of the community that make it necessary for us to have to even do the work of the community. But I lift up before you this theme and this message at CityWell as I begin to come to a close. That indeed God is faithful and God is true. God is at work in Durham, and it is our call to seek out those places and those intersections in our community where the Lord is truly at work. Because the joy comes in the knowing that we serve a God that cannot lie. God's word will not come back void. Jesus' life, resurrection, and intercession for us this very day is that we would not faint and lose heart, that we would not despair, because our city, the welfare of our city, our welfare is wrapped up in it. So let us continue on as a church in this new season under new leadership, under changing leadership, under changing dynamics. Carry on one another, encourage one another to involve in our neighbors' lives in ways that brings justice and wholeness and love and peace and joy and affirmation. May it be so for us. May it be so. God bless us over this next several years and decades to fulfill the promise in which you have established this church, that we are together taking steps forward and no steps back. We thank you that we hear the cries of our community and we don't turn a deaf ear to the mother who is grieving the loss of her child. We thank you for leaders who, like Ms. Wanda Boone of Durham Tri, who are engaging the youth of our community who think their lives don't matter, who are subject to suicide and depression. We thank you for the late Ms. Bynum of Healing with Care, an organization that's been dedicated for over three decades towards veterans and those experiencing economic despair. Thank you for Tamika Brown of the Hearts organization, helping every adolescent reach their spark. How beautiful that she would pursue young women who have had children, single teenagers even, that they have a place to belong and to be encouraged and to flourish even when they've been kicked out of their homes. I thank you for an organization like Hope Reigns, Equine Therapy. What a marvelous thing that you would use horses in a way to bring healing to broken hearts. Thank you for Jubilee Home, even, Father God. The inspiration to make a place for those in reentering our community that need healing and hope. God, we cannot praise you enough. All day long, may we pray and intercede for the many Samaritans in our midst. And even when we as priests and prophets fail to do justice, you still do it through whoever you choose. We offer this prayer